Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome to this holy half hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. Welcome to another mixture of music and chat. Tonight's theme is heroic failures. You know the sort of thing, newspaper headlines like Brave Scotland Die Fighting, as when Scotland beat Holland in the World Cup with the goal of the century by Archie Gemmell, but sadly it just wasn't quite enough. Or how about the man who bought a lottery ticket with the winning number, but unfortunately for the wrong day? He bought his ticket meaning it to be for the Saturday draw. However, the shop assistant gave him instead a ticket for the Wednesday draw. His number was the winning number for the Saturday, but it won him nothing on the Wednesday. He didn't realise at first that it was a Wednesday ticket, so he genuinely believed that he had won millions of pounds. Then he suffered the shock, the depression of missing out. So near and yet so far. And here's another heroic failure. I'll let Kenny Rogers explain this one.
Everyone considered him the coward of the county. He had never stood one single time to prove the county wrong. His mama named him Tommy. Folks just called him yellow. Something always told me they were reading Tommy wrong. He was only 10 years old when his daddy died in prison. I looked after Tommy 'cause he was my brother's son. I still recall the final words my brother said to Tommy. Son, my life is over, but yours has just begun. Promise me, son, not to do the things I've done. Walk away from trouble if you can. It won't mean you're weak if you turn the other cheek. I hope you're old enough to understand. Son, you don't have to fight to be. There's someone for everyone, and Tommy's love was Becky. In her arms he didn't have to prove he was a man. One day while he was working, the Gatlin boys came calling. They took turns at Becky, and there was three of them. Tommy opened up the door, saw his Becky crying. The torn dress, the shattered look was more than he could stand. He reached above the fireplace and took down his daddy's picture. As his tears fell on his daddy's face, he heard these words again. Promise me, son, not to do the things I've done. Walk away from trouble if you can. Now it won't mean you're weak if you turn the other cheek. I hope you're old enough to understand. Son, you don't have to fight to be a man. The Gatlin boys just laughed at him when he walked into the bar room. One of them got up, met him halfway across the floor. When Tommy turned around, they said, "Hey, look, old Yellow's leaving." But you could have heard a pin drop when Tommy stopped and locked the door. 20 years of crawling was bottled up inside him. He wasn't holding nothing back, he let him have it all. When Tommy left the bar room, not a Gatlin boy was standing. He said, "This one's for Becky," as he watched the last one fall. And I heard him say, "I promised you, Dad, not to do the things you've done. I'll walk away from trouble when I can. Now please don't think I'm weak, I didn't turn the other cheek. And Papa, I sure hope you understand. Sometimes you gotta fight when you're a man." Everyone considered him the coward of the county.
I've got in my hand right now a wonderful wee book entitled The Book of Heroic Failures by Stephen Pyle. Here's a sample or two from it. In 1971, Mr. and Mrs. William Farmer of Margate travelled to Wales for their summer holidays. At the start of the week, they joined a British Rail mystery tour. It took them straight back to Margate. "We were expecting the Welsh mountains," they said afterwards. "We nearly fell through the platform," said Mr. Farmer, who'd been looking forward to getting away from Margate all summer. Declining a tour of the town, Mr. and Mrs. Farmer popped home for a cup of tea. And how about this one? Mr. Michael Murphy, a 22-year-old draftsman from Stevenage in Hertfordshire, set off in August 1975 to cycle around the world. During the next 2 years, he was robbed by Yugoslavian peasants, stoned by tribesmen in the Khyber Pass, and nearly froze to death in a blizzard. When he finally arrived back in England in April 1977, he had only to collect his bike at Heathrow Airport and cycle the last 40 miles home. After 25,000 miles, he confidently expected to make it back to Stevenage. His hopes were crushed, as was his bicycle, by a conveyor belt joining the plane to the customs hall, and he had to hitch a lift home. Or how about this one? After severe flooding in Jeddah in January 1979, the Arab News gave the following bulletin. "We regret we are unable to give you the weather. We rely on weather reports from the airport, which is closed because of the weather. Whether we're able to give you the weather tomorrow depends on the weather." And then it tells us about Dr. Robert Smith, a preacher in 1689, who managed to put his whole congregation to sleep, including the King of England. It's a lovely book full of these gems. But speaking of heroic failures, here's Bob Newhart with a couple of other ones.
It was kind of a coincidence this past week. There was a movie on bomb disposals in Germany. And then there was an item in the paper about this plane was flying along, and somehow a bomb came loose and fell. It didn't explode. It landed, and they had to send out an expert team to disarm the bomb. And it's always an expert, courageous team of men who disarm these bombs. And I got to wondering what would happen if a team of non-experts ever tried to disarm one of these bombs. And I picture a small coastal city, very small coastal city with a beach. And we see the police chief, he's sitting in his office, and he's expecting nothing more than a phone call from one of his patrolmen on the beach. And I think it would go something like this. Hello, Lieutenant Stevenson here. Patrolman Hackmaster. Oh, hello, Willard. You're a little late reporting in, aren't you, Willard? You found a shell on the beach. You think that's unusual, do you, Willard, finding a shell on a beach? It's not that kind of shell. What's the matter, Willard? Doesn't it sound like the ocean when you hold it up to your ear? Oh, that kind of shell. Well, I'll tell you what, Willard, I'll send somebody out in the morning. Oh, is that right? Gee, I was kind of hoping that was your watch making that noise, Willard. I'm going to give it to you straight, Willard. You got a live one there. Willard, don't hang up. That's an order, Willard. And stop that whining. Now, you're perfectly safe, Willard. There's nothing to worry about as long as it's ticking. When it stops ticking, that's something else again, Willard. Now, listen, Willard, get control of yourself. Now, you and I are going to disarm that thing. I've got the instruction manual. Well, no, I'm not coming down there, Willard. I just can't leave the office anytime I want to, Willard. No, don't bring it in here, Willard, no! Look, Willard, I'm taking just as big a chance as you are. I mean, this is my responsibility. I mean, if that thing goes off, it's me they're going to want to talk to, not you, you know. All right, now, Willard, describe it to me. It sounds like some kind of torpedo, Willard. It must be one of ours. Are there any markings on it? It says made in Japan, huh? Well, it still could be one of ours, Willard. Is there a serial number or anything like that on it? X53L7. Let me look that up, Willard, just a minute. Oh, boy, you found a beauty there, Willard. You know how powerful that baby is? Six city blocks, Willard. What do you mean you call me back? There's a telephone booth seven blocks away. Willard! Now, stop that whining, Willard. Willard, I know this is dangerous, but if we can save one human life... That's the way you feel about it, huh?
So these were a couple of heroic failures, we might call them. I have with me just now another funny book. This one was written by David Frost, entitled I Could Have Kicked Myself. And you can see why from the following examples. An anonymous Indian chief in 1626 sold the island of Manhattan to Governor Peter Minuit for $24 worth of axes, kettles, and fabric. When you think of the price of real estate in Manhattan nowadays, isn't that amazing? Or how about in 1867, an agreement was made between Tsar Alexander II of all the Russias and the American Secretary of State, whereby the United States purchased the territory of Alaska, the whole of Alaska, for $7.2 million. Your deal as well. One of the most short-sighted real estate deals of all time took place in 1886, the day that a gold prospector decided to sell a claim he'd made in South Africa, in the Transvaal. The claim fetched £10, and the guy moved on. Over the next 90 years, the mines sunk on or near that claim produced upwards of 1 million kilograms of gold every year. In other words, 70% of the Western world's total gold supply. Did you know that in 1898, a certain young Albert Einstein applied for admission to the Munich Technical Institute, his local college, but they turned him down on the grounds that he showed no promise. He then had to become a postie for a year and try again next year to get into the college. Oh, if only.
The word if, just two tiny letters, says so much or something so small. Biggest little word in existence never answers, just questions us all. If free lonely. But looking back now, I see clearly with my 20/20 hindsight. Oh, but don't think I haven't paid dearly, 'cause you could be in my arms tonight. If regret
no shortage of heroic failures in another book, the Bible. For instance, there's Esau, who sold his birthright to his brother Jacob for the sake of a plate of porridge. Then there was the Bethlehem innkeeper, who had no room at the inn for Mary, Joseph and Jesus. If he had known that God incarnate was at his door, I'm sure he would have given up his own bed for him. Then there are the tragic, heroic failures of Adam and Eve, Mr. and Mrs. Average, you and me, who were born into a Garden of Eden by a loving God and then managed to blow it, as Don Francisco tells us in this song.
Unashamed and naked in a garden that has never seen the rain, rulers of a kingdom full of joy, never marred by any pain. The morning all around them seems to celebrate the life they've just begun. And in the majesty of innocence, the king and queen come walking in the sun. The master of deception now begins with his dissection of the word. And with all his craft and subtlety, the serpent twists the simple truth they've heard. While hanging in the balance is a world that has been placed at their command. All their unborn children die as both of them bow down to Satan's hand. Then just before the evening, in the cool of the day, they hear the voice of God as he is walking. But they can't abide his presence now, so they try to hide away. But still they hear the sound as he is calling. Adam, Adam, where are you? Adam, Adam, where are you? Adam, Adam, where are you?
There's a subtle distinction between heroic failures and heroic failures. Let me explain. On the one hand, there are people who look good at first but fail in the end. They flatter to deceive. They look heroic, but they are in fact failures. They sin, but you can almost admire their sinfulness until you realise it is wrong. Like the person who stole a 23-foot inflatable carrot from a gala day. How did they do that? Or my fellow students at university went to the rival hall of residence, dressed as workmen, woke up a student in his bed, asked him to leave, and proceeded to lean out of his window and saw off their flagpole. Or how about, my dad had the television stolen while he was watching it. Can you believe that? He was in the TV room in Glasgow's YMCA with several other people when workmen came in and switched it off. They put it on a trolley and wheeled it away. Only when it was too late did the viewers realise that it was not broken. They'd been watching it. These were bogus workmen. The nerve of it. On the other hand, there are seeming failures who are in fact unsung heroes, very heroic failures. Indeed, they're not failures at all, it's just that they sometimes look like it. For example, I was standing in the pulpit one Sunday and I saw a woman in the back pew and I thought, you, Mrs., are exactly the image of church which puts people off coming. She was dressed in black, she looked like death warmed up, hardly opened her mouth to sing. But that was to misread her. She had faithfully nursed her 90-year-old mother for the past 30 years. She had just buried her mum 3 days earlier. This was her very first opportunity to get back to church, and she had taken it. She was grieving, so she was in black, and she didn't feel like singing. After the service, she slipped me a plain brown envelope with £500 in it in cash, a donation to the church. Or how about in the Bible, we come across Peter. He's in the boat on the Sea of Galilee. They're caught in a storm. All the disciples thought they were going to be shipwrecked and drown. Peter sees Jesus approaching, walking on the water, and he impulsively jumps overboard to walk on the water towards Jesus. The others shout, "Get back, you fool!" Jesus reaches out and rescues him. But is there no place for such heroic fools? People who will go overboard for Jesus? Jesus won't let them drown.
Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water.
The water.
Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea.
Calmed the sea.
Take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently. Putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Every time I look into the holy book, I wanna tremble. But when I read about the part where a carpenter cleared the temple, for the buyers and the sellers were no different fellows than what I profess to be. And it causes me pain to know I'm not the guy that I should be. Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water.
The water.
Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea.
Calmed the sea.
Take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently. By putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Mama taught me how to pray before I reached the age of 7. And when I'm down on my knees, that's when I'm close to heaven. Daddy lived his life with 2 kids and a wife. You do what you must do. But he showed me enough of what it takes to get you through. Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea.
Calmed the sea.
Take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently. By putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee.
Judas Iscariot was a failure. He betrayed Jesus, but he hung himself because he thought there was no way back for a failure like him. But Simon Peter was also a failure. 3 times he'd denied ever knowing Jesus. But unlike Judas, Peter hung around, and Jesus was able to forgive him and recommission him and give him a new start. Paul and Silas were imprisoned in jail in Philippi. The poor persecuted preachers looked like failures wallowing in the depths of a dungeon, but none of it. At midnight they were singing hymns like two birds in a cage, free in their hearts and spirits. While the jailer, the man with the keys, had to admit to them that his life was tied in knots. Many Christian martyrs were heroic, as they apparently were failures being martyred to death. At one time, all the odds were stacked in favour of Emperor Nero and the Roman Empire, and no one gave tuppence for the chances of the Apostle Paul. But today, people are proud to call their sons Paul, and they hesitate to call their goldfish Nero. Jesus looked like a failure, especially as he hung on the cross. The crowds had deserted him, so had his closest followers. He had been denied and betrayed. He was crucified as a criminal laid in a borrowed grave. But the cross was not the end. Resurrection followed. In truth, he was not a failure, but a hero. One last thought. Long ago, a certain lord of the manor had a fool or a court jester called Jimmy. They got on well, and one day this lord of the manor gave his fool his walking stick, saying, "Keep this staff, Jimmy, until you meet a bigger fool than yourself." Some years later, the lord fell sick and he was on his deathbed. Jimmy came to his bedside and the lord tried to explain. "You see, Jimmy, I'm about to go on a long journey." "Where to, master?" "I don't know." "When will you be back?" "No, Jimmy, I won't be back." "Are you prepared for such a long journey, sir?" "Not really, Jimmy." "So you're going on a long journey to a place you do not know, and you're not prepared? Well, master, take my staff, for you're a bigger fool than me. So don't be a heroic or not-so-heroic failure, and miss out on God's love and forgiveness and relationship with us. Be heroes in the faith, even if at times we may look like failures. Bye for now, and I leave you with Cliff Richard, wishing we'd all been ready.
Life was filled with guns and war, and everyone got trampled on the floor. I wish we'd all been ready. Children died and the days grew cold. A piece of bread could buy a bag of gold. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. A man and wife asleep in bed. She hears a noise and turns her head. He's gone. I wish we'd all been ready. 2 men walking up a hill. One disappears and one's left standing still. I wish we'd all been ready. But there's no time to change. The sun has come and you've been left behind.
Thank you.